district court's inequitable conduct determination rests upon a misapprehension of law. It erred in holding that software developed internally by the plaintiffs for performing automated trading was disclosed and therefore highly material prior art without regard to whether it was ever used or activated.
Counsel, I'm glad you started with this because this is the point that I really want to know. And I'll tell you, I've spent some time going through your source code, which isn't a lot of fun. But what I'm trying to figure out specifically is the portion of the code that contradicts your statements about Wagner in the prior art in the prosecution history, were the portions of your code that contradict that statement about trade states, the portions that were not called? You clearly have in your source code portions that were not called and not callable, it seems, but rather what we would call latent code. And so my question to you is, are the portions of that latent code that weren't called in the commercial use of the product more than a year before the filing date, are those the portions that pertain to why you should have disclosed this to the PTO?
Your Honor, at the first part of the question, I think you asked about whether this was the code that contradicted what we said about Wagner. And I just want to make it clear that the finding of the district court was not, I think, that this contradicted Wagner, but in fact that we made statements that there were no trading states in the prior art, but in fact there were trading states
in
our own product.
That's right.
I think this was apart
from
Wagner. Now, with respect to your question,
what was relevant to the rejection in light of Wagner that you made these responsive statements that there's nothing in the prior art that shows trade states, i.e. Wagner doesn't disclose them, you know, and there's nothing else, whereas your own system did. So I'm trying to figure out, you argue very clearly in the briefs that there are portions of the code that aren't called and aren't being used.
Correct, Your Honor.
So what I'm trying to figure out is, are those the portions that are relevant to the trade states? Because it seems to me that the portions are relevant to the new rules application, but that the trade states were part of both the old and the new rules and therefore were called as part of the use of that subroutine and source code.
Thank you for clarifying the question, Your Honor. The trade states, it may pay to just give a little bit of history. The super system, as originally rolled out in production, included software code for certain trade states, which would be for the purpose of implementing automated trading. That code was not called because the district court found the system was not used for automated trading. That's number one. Later, as part of subsequent development, looking towards a later system, additional code, the code was modified to include code for these so-called new rules.
But don't the old rules have trade states too? This is where I'm getting a little confused from a technological standpoint.
The original code had trade states long before, or a year before or so, the new rules code was entered. However, that system was not used in a way that implemented those trade states. This is the distinction between trade capture and automated trading, which at the trial of this case was, and in the record now before you, one of the major issues.
Did the software call the subroutines that pertain to trade states?
No.
It didn't. Because I did see at one point an argument in the brief where you said something about how, or someone said something about how the traders didn't pay attention to those things. Well, that's different from whether the subroutine was run or not.
That comment was, and I think it was a finding of the district court, that the interface of the system was so complicated, traders simply didn't want to deal with the system at all.
So here's my question. Why then have you not argued our line of cases that talk about latent code? And in particular, we have fantasy football, we've got all these cases that talk about if a piece of software has a section of code which is not capable of being run, not being run, then that software does not infringe. Well, if it doesn't infringe, it doesn't anticipate. So why aren't you arguing you never had to disclose this to us to begin with? disclose it to the PTO to begin with, that it's not prior art with regard to the portions of the code that weren't run. It's only prior art with regard to the portions that were. Why is that argument nowhere in here?
Your Honor, if that argument isn't coming through, I apologize.
Not one of the cases on that point are cited.
Those cases are not cited, but certainly our argument is that that code was not prior art that could negate the novelty of the invention as later claimed.
Well, the